Hello, and welcome to the FinTech Times podcast, focused on discussing the latest FinTech topics and trends from around the world. Established in 2016, the FinTech Times is a global multimedia news outlet centered around the world's first leading FinTech newspaper. We report all the latest and brightest ideas from the FinTech world.
Hi, welcome back to the FinTech Times podcast. My name is Mark Walker. I'm the editorial director. Today, we're going to be talking about the future of payments being cooperation. We're going to assess the value of partnerships in payments. We've got two great people to talk today from Nuvei. I'm going to start off by asking them both to give us a quick introduction. Motti, maybe if you could start with yourself.
Yeah, happy to. My name is Motti Brink. I'm the Chief Commercial Officer here at Nuvei. I've been with the company for just over 15 months. I run all the commercial activities globally, focusing on global expansion and vertical reach. We have teams spanned from Singapore to the Middle East, Europe, North America, and Latin America, covering all the different functions, including sales, the issue management, and of course, the partnerships teams.
Wonderful, thank you. And Jacqueline, yourself?
Yes, my name is Jacqueline Ulrich. I have been with Nuvei for about 4 months, and I head the partnerships team at a global scale. So this is a department that is actively growing, and we take care of what we call financial or payment partners, so PayFac, ISOs, resellers, and PSPs, and also platforms, so any e-commerce platforms, recurring, and other types of platforms that we work with.
Wonderful. So just to get us into sort of the mood before we sort of start talking about our focus, which is partnerships in payments, perhaps, Motti, you give us a quick overview of Nuvei, sort of who they are, what they do, and some of the goals around this concept of a local world marketplace.
Yeah, so in essence, I think we're a technology partner. We aim to, you know, make the world a local marketplace, and the focus is on the local. We offer gateway services that give you acquiring and alternative payment methods. At last count, I think it was 515 different payment methods in different markets that we can offer. And we have all the other services that come with it, from FX to reconciliation and all the different aspects that any kind of B2B business would need when they work with a payment provider.
Okay. So obviously, what we're going to talk about here is partnerships. And obviously, a lot of culture of collaboration is really fueling the payments industry. And just sticking with you for a bit, Motti, you were kind of saying that there's different kinds in your eyes of payment providers. There's some that want partnerships, some that don't. Where do you see yourselves sort of positioned within that?
So when I started, I said we have over 500 different payment methods offered to our customers. And just on that front, we need to build partnerships with domestic and local companies to be able to offer global customers the ability to be domestic and local in different places. And that requires you to really excel in building partnerships when it comes to the payment side of it. It also means you need to work with multiple platforms and other providers that can enable and facilitate for any B2B business the ability to accept payments, accept orders, etc. So I think we are trying to be as agnostic as possible in the way we process and work with anyone from our competitors to payment providers to platforms to really enable the largest variety of options, opportunities to different businesses. There are others who tend to be a lot more insular in their approach. They tend to have a gateway to take you to their acquiring capabilities and kind of force a very insular service arrangement. We try to be as open as possible so you can really benefit from having as local experience as possible for your customers.
Okay, fantastic. And obviously coming to yourself, Jacqueline, obviously one would assume you have the same idea on partnerships,
yes.
which is good news. Obviously thinking a little bit and maybe extending a little bit on this sort of agnostic approach, how does that sort of translate from your perspective into, you know, how you're going about setting up the global sort of partnerships?
Well, I think the agnosticity is the key factor, because if you're going to be participating in your customer's growth, and should I say, you use the word fueling before, if you're going to fuel their growth and benefit from a mutual growth, inevitably you're going to have to work with partners at a global level. And that is where we are agnostic. Like Motti was saying before, some companies prefer to just offer their own services. And that basically means that some of their customers may have some limitations in certain areas. And that is basically against the DNA of Nuve.
Okay, so Motti, coming back to you, thinking about sort of partnerships and marketplaces, what therefore do you see as the difference and the critical part between the differences in a marketplace and just a group of different partnerships?
Yes, I think first we just need to make sure that when we say marketplace, it's not necessarily the marketplace that we all think about in terms of a selling platform. That's one area that we are focus on. But this is also how we make the local experience relevant to all our customers. And if you want, when both Jacqueline and I talk about us connecting to different providers, working with domestic solutions, etc., we basically do all the heavy lifting for our customers. We enable all those processes like a marketplace would do in a way. If you go to a marketplace, you want to buy something, you don't care if the seller is in China, in the UK, in Germany. You just know that you want to buy this pair of trousers, shoes, and you order them, and somehow they come to your house. And we do the same on the payment side. We make sure that when you want to work globally, you want to reach consumers globally, you go to one place, and you have the ability to not have to worry about how you get to consumers in different countries and different jurisdictions. And this is what we see as our role as a marketplace enabler, if you want.
I see. Okay, so that makes a lot more sense, as you're saying. So it's effectively a almost like a one-stop shop that a client of yours can come into, and they have access to this much larger network of partnerships, marketplaces, that they can then pick and choose from.
100%. And that's kind of how you built it in a way where you have to be agnostic, because if I only said we can do everything, then it's impossible, because to be able to really serve as customers globally, you need to be in a domestic way. You have to be present in all the different markets around the world, which is a very expensive exercise. And we opted to do it in a way where we work with as many domestic players as possible. We do all the work and we create a proposition that gives you the access to all of it as if you're domestic in those places. So we kind of create the payments marketplace, if you want, as the enablers for others to process.
Okay, that makes sense. So I guess the role that you have as obviously global partnerships is being able to not necessarily connect all these people together, but to present them to individual clients. What do you think the key things when you're dealing with clients as to what they sort of value and what they're looking for within the partnership?
I think transparency is definitely one of them. They don't want to have an obscure situation in front of them. So one of the things that we definitely focus on is being very transparent about who our partners are and what solutions we are offering in every single market. I think that it is normal that Nuve as a company is not going to have its own proprietary solution in every single marketplace. So I think that transparency is definitely one of those key elements. And another one is trust, that we will be doing or making the right choices when identifying the partners that we're going to be working with in every market, both from a, should I say, capability point of view as well as technical point of view. We should I say, study very well our partners in every single area or market that we work with.
Really interesting. When you sort of, one of the things I picked up on there was the idea that not one payment provider can be the sole supplier in the whole entire world, which when you kind of say out loud, it's quite obvious. But as you say, there's a lot of companies out there which perhaps would like people to perceive they're bigger than they are. And you obviously mentioned that as a key area of transparency. And do you find that the clients respect you more for that and are more inclined, therefore, to work with you because you're providing them a sort of a trusted network, as it were?
I think that a lot of the clients don't necessarily always know what they want or what they need. So there is a combination of, first of all, them trusting us, and I think that that's where we have a very good reputation in providing them and doing more of a consultative, should I say, selling approach with them. So customers need to understand what the requirements are. It's not the same to sell in Latin America as it is in Scandinavia, for example, on a mobile platform or just a web platform. And there's a lot of different areas that need to be checked. And I think that the fact that they understand that we work with the specialists in every single of those markets actually gives us a lot of credibility.
Interesting. And so, Marty, just on to thinking about sort of like the tech, because a lot of people could take the assumption that agnostic would be on technology as well, and that you're sort of allowing various different connections to happen. What's the sort of difference between sort of technology partnerships that you might have and the actual sort of strategic or relational partnerships that you have?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think when you look at the technology side, being agnostic means that we would work with as many partners as we will connect to as many partners as possible, really to optimize the flow. And by optimizing, I mean to enable our customers to optimize acceptance levels, reach as many people as possible, have the best cost structure enabled to them. We would work with our competitors. We will, you know, we find a way to either get them to connect to us. We're happy to do the reverse integration into them. So really, it is about the offering, the proposition, to have it as wide as possible. And that's, I think, is key in the way we see kind of the role of technology in enabling payments and payment methods for customers. And by the way, it's not just the payment methods. It's also the different platforms that we work with. And if we're not working with them now, that we want to work with. Because it's also important that different businesses who work with different ERP systems, ordering systems, etc., have the ability to choose and have the ability to then have the widest range of options. And again, we take all the heavy lifting here. I think when, from the payment side, when you sign a contract with anyone who you're going to work with, you want to know that you have someone you can trust. You don't care what's happening behind the scenes. You really don't care who is the provider behind them. You just want to make sure that everything is working fine. And that's a role that I think a company like us has to play in making sure that we deliver on just that. And then you have the size of kind of partnering with our customers as well. And I think Jacqueline started touching on it. Part of what we do and how we do it is build solutions to customers. So, you know, it doesn't matter how many payment options you have, there's still going to be markets and countries where we could do better. It was never part of our, there was no business case, if you want, to really focus on it. And then someone will come and say, hey, do you have a solution for Mongolia? We have a business case to go there, and can you find us the top 2 or 3 payment methods in that market because we want to go? And that's where we will go, okay, we have a team. We can start looking for someone that we can do a business over there. Integrate and build a solution. So I think that partnership is, it's technology. It's the ability to move very fast and do things quickly. And it's the ability to have the agility around both, you know, what we see as our roadmap and then what our customer roadmap is and how we accommodate that and turn it as part of our proposition.
Okay, and sort of building on for that a little bit, obviously it's seeing those partnerships as sort of a key facilitation of sort of global growth now. And obviously Nuvei as a company has grown quite considerably in many different markets. Has it been a factor of those requests from your partners that have driven you, or is it a fact that you've sort of gone out there and taken it?
It's a bit of both. I think some of it came through customer needs. We work with customers and, you know, we call them partners, and they will have their roadmap, their desire to go to different countries, and we will help to facilitate it. Some would be us realizing that there's a huge interest in LATAM, and our capabilities are probably not the best because of the complexity over there. So we went and bought a company, Paymentus, and brought it into the family so we can really upgrade our proposition in the region. And I think it works better when the pressure comes both from internal innovation kind of side of the business and what our customers want, because ultimately, I'm being asked to sign off on, you know, what's the return on investment going to be? And that would come from customers actually wanting to use the product. And there's nothing better than a customer who's telling you, hey, if you have a solution here, I'm going to work with you more.
So Jacqueline, sort of similar sort of question, but from your sort of perspective within the business, using sort of partnerships for that sort of geo expansion, what's your sort of take on that?
Well, I think we get the best of both worlds because, should I say, imagine a provider for elk carpets in Sweden, for example, you know, and he may be selling a lot of carpets in Sweden on a mobile device and has a very good local provider, but who works very well, but needs to expand that. And similarly, like global players or other players who need to start selling in on that particular Swedish device is going to need that kind of a partnership, is going to benefit. So it's a two-sided benefit that we have with all of the partnerships. And I think that inevitably, any company today claiming to be completely global and doing it on their own are not necessarily going to be transparent. So that is why you'll see most likely a lot of these companies do have certain partners, but they don't necessarily mention them, or you know, it's happening on the sidelines. Or so I think that the whole nature of the business is going to be about creating the necessary ecosystem for our partners to be able to enjoy and benefit from that growth. Yeah. And I think that not only what Martin was mentioning before, I think there's also a fearlessness capability that the company has. I think that other companies haven't mastered from a maybe technical or could be even from a legal point of view, whatnot. But I mean, there's a lot of things that go into play when you start opening up new markets and signing on new partners in different areas of the world. So I think that we have mastered kind of that we know that we will know the necessary tools, or we will have the necessary tools in order to approach a new market.
That was exactly going to actually be my question, so you've kind of answered it for me. Because I was going to ask about the rug manufacturer in Sweden and saying, obviously, with his partnership with yourself, he potentially could sell that into Latin America.
Exactly.
And you've kind of, as the trusted partner, you've selected the right partner to work with there that you know will be compliant against all the local money regulations and everything else.
Exactly.
And so now that I had to come up with another question on top of that one, as you'd already answered it, I was thinking of, do you see an interesting difference in regions and how they're utilising their partnerships with you? I.e., you know, the US is a very large market, probably really good for sort of domestic supply. In Europe, we tend to be a little bit smaller and therefore a lot more intercompany exchanges going on. So do you find a much bigger uptake of your services in the European market because of that?
Absolutely. I think that there's a lot of regional differences. I think there's a lot of like really slick tech companies that are actually very, very good at offering their services to smaller merchants. Like I said, for example, on a mobile device that, you know, maybe Nuvei would have difficulties in doing for that little carpet seller in Scandinavia, for example. So we do see a lot of that kind of movement. Whereas in the US, for example, we'll see partnerships coming in who want more of an international expansion, again, into LATAM, where we're not necessarily going to be getting a lot of partners who require to sell, you know, in one single state, so to speak. So I think that where there is added complexity, of course, that's where we can offer great services.
Okay, interesting. So obviously utilising these sort of partnerships to really sort of facilitate the payments themselves. We were speaking a little bit before about how sort of the ability not to use to use a marketplace kind of stops these monolithic, ginormous payment providers. And I was just thinking, from your point of view, Motti, do you think that we're into a different area of payment providers now, where instead of having, you know, 10 or 12 ginormous payment providers, we're going to have a larger number of smaller partners that will be working with them?
I think it's a combination of both, because you'll always have the kind of the big giants that can service the mainstream, the key payment methods, etc. But what you see now is the rise of the local payment solutions, the variety, if you want. I think it started, if you look at stuff like Buy Now Pay Later, which didn't exist a few years ago, and that became fairly substantial over the last 5-6 years in many countries. Many businesses know that if you don't offer it, you miss out on what used to be 1%, now 4%, 5% of the market, because people choose to paid differently now and work differently. So I think as people become more loyal to their mobile device rather than where they buy from, for example, then you see the need to offer a wider range of products to consumers. And that's the same also from business to business point of view. Because as a payment company, as a fintech company, you cannot dictate to those you want to work with how to operate. You have to also allow them some level of control and flexibility in telling you what they want to do. And I think, you know, back to that Swedish carpet rug manufacturer, it's not that we can't do it. It's just that we focus on the bigger businesses, on the enterprise and the mid-size, because it suits how we operate. And then you have others who work with, you know, the SMBs more and have a solution that is more, you know, off the shelf. This is what you get. This is how you do it. I think what we're trying to do is really build, an orchestration of services. Some of it is ours. Some of it comes from working as domestically with other partners to enable as much as we can. For example, when we started looking into the LATAM market, all of us are familiar with, you know, platforms like Shopify, Magento, etc. But there's also the ones that are regional for the LATAM market. And if you want to do business and be able to compete in that market, you need to offer those. You need to be connected to those platforms. That had to become part of our roadmap, because if we want to be able to offer services in the region, we cannot go to a customer and say, you must connect to platform X. We want to be able to go and say, wherever you are, we will do the hard work so we can work with you. It's a long way of saying, yes, I do think that that's the case, yeah.
And as I say, it's really interesting, I think, because a lot of people think, you know, sort of like the world is definitely coming closer and closer together. And so therefore, assuming that there's no sort of boundaries, there's no sort of hurdles into different markets. But actually, there's no longer physical boundaries to going into markets. It's not necessarily an FX sort of boundary to going to markets anymore. It's now more about local culture and what individual merchants, individual consumers and retailers actually want to use within their countries rather than any other sort of barrier that it was previously.
I think that I was reading a study the other day, and I think that 9 out of 10 people know what payment method they want to use before they buy. So it basically means that if you don't have it on whatever device you're selling your services on or products, you're not going to get that customer. So I think that goes precisely to what you were saying, that you have to focus on not only, you know, your, in my case, business to business, but even the B2B2C, what are they, you know, going to need to have in order to be successful. So at the end, for example, in my role, I always say to my team that our priority is to make our partners look good, so that they can actually then, you know, offer the best services down the road.
Yeah, it's really interesting, without giving away my age and everything else, when you look back onto a very much product-based sales sort of approach, you always used to talk about resellers and distribution as being ways to actually spread out very quickly geographically. And it's kind of the same thing that you're sort of suggesting, actually using your partners and supporting your partners to actually do more business as well. That is that's sort of an interesting area when you think about what we just said and sort of culturally people choosing the payment providers that they already want before they get to there. So have you got any examples of how you've sort of matched your sort of offering to partners in specific verticals, for example? Or?
So actually, we have just created specific verticals in the partnerships department. So we have one which is focused on gaming and FX. Another one that is focused on travel, so airlines, hospitality, and cruise lines and any other platforms that fall under that. Obviously, we have the whole e-commerce and marketplaces rolled into one as well. Also, let's not forget all of the recurring and subscription platforms as well. And then, like I mentioned before, the whole payments with ISOs, PayFax, resellers, consultancy firms as well. So, yes, we're, you know, as soon as we see a vertical, we're kind of creating, giving it its own department kind of within the company in order to ensure that we are aligned with what the market needs.
So without giving away any trade secrets at how you approach each of these verticals, what, is there sort of like a wireframe or a methodology that you kind of utilize to sort of tackle each vertical?
We take the best from the market to join our ranks, should I say, and take it from there, should I say. No, but yeah, well, I think that each of them and the reason why we have verticalized those is that they are very different. Their needs are different. Often the geographies are more important in specific areas or in specific verticals than others. So where there is enough of a business, obviously, for example, e-commerce platforms, obviously that is like global. So we'll have to have like regional heads. So you'll have somebody for EMEA, somebody for the Americas and then APAC. And as Martin was mentioned before, I think we tend to throw in Americas and LATAM. We you know, for us here in Europe, it tends to be a little bit separate and far away. But it's a, you know, very, very much, you know, should I say, larger market than it is almost in at least consumer base than it is in Europe. So we have somebody dedicated as well in that region who's also growing the business on that side.
That's interesting. Well, the Americans always lump Europe all together anyway.
Yeah, so, yeah.
You know, we've got 27 different languages, so.
I'm looking forward to see what, you know, what comes up next in Africa.
If I could add to what Jacqueline just said, I think at the core of everything we do as a payment provider, and part of, you know, the technology agility that we were discussing and being agnostic, it is about making sure that we can offer any business, any company, a proposition that is tailored to what they do. And that's why we speak their language, that's why we're verticalized, and that's why we also think that we need to have their core values as a vertical part of what we do. Because the same payment method, the same way of transacting means something different in different verticals. Paying back to someone would be a refund in retail, could be a payment of winning for gambling, would be a transfer in financial services. It might be the same core transaction, but you facilitate it that little bit differently to accommodate for the nuances of different verticals, of regulations, etc. And I think it's key to what we do. It's key to our DNA to facilitate, enable it, but most importantly, to understand it and how it works and how it's impacting both our customers and their customers.
Yeah, and I guess that's kind of, as you're saying, you know, starting to think about what makes a successful partnerships. It's kind of understanding that. Surely within the organization, then there's a need to allocate resource appropriately to sort of understanding customers, generating that. How do you kind of deal with that if you're tackling sort of so many different areas, so many different places around the world? How do you sort of organize yourself so that you can really get under the skin of each of those sort of sectors?
Oh, it's a combination of many things. Obviously, we need to think about the ROI on everything we do, so there have to be clear business cases. However, whether those have to be short-term or mid-term or long-term, that is what will obviously create certain decisions at one point, because certain of the platforms that we're implementing or integrating into currently have large customers that will take obviously quite a big long time in producing any visible revenues at this time. So I think it is a combination. Is it, you know, geographically strategic? Is it a new sector that we want to get into? Do we need to diversify in specific regions? Is the momentum in specific sectors ideal? And I think that the clearest one is, you know, with the pandemic having been hit, should I say, anybody who was very heavily exposed to travel and had nothing else to rely on would have obviously had huge issues. So I think that those are the kind of things that we also need to take into account nowadays.
Yeah, I think it's interesting. You can't really obviously do any podcast or webinar or anything without talking about pandemic at some point, because it's been such a sort of a pivotal moment in digital journeys, digital transformations, etc. So I guess sort of as we're coming towards the end of the podcast, I was just going to think, maybe start with yourself, Marty. When we look into the future, we talked a little bit about how big payment companies might start needing to be broken down and the idea of using local cultural payment providers, but with one system to tie them all together. Where do you see that going sort of as we start into 2022?
I think we'll continue to see the same trends as we've seen so far. I think it'll be a combination of you know, localizing, becoming a lot more local on the one hand, on the other hand, staying global, because you know, we mentioned the US and Europe, big corporates like to work with big known companies. They like working with someone who's financially solid. So working with, you know, big public companies that have the financial backing to give you the local experience is easier for the global players. And that's going to continue. You know, we talk about how the world is starting to, you know, there's no barriers and we're all can transact freely between countries. But actually, it's a lot more complicated because every time you try to go into a new market and you have to learn the regulations in the country, the tax system, how you can get money in or out, who can help you in understanding it? What are the implications for you as a business? How can you send goods to those countries, etc.? It becomes very, very complicated. And I don't think the 2022 and beyond, there's any plan to simplify that. Even when you look at the EU, you know, which is meant to be one body, and the different regulations you have between different countries and different areas, you know, the harmonization of services is still not there at the level that you'd want it to be. It's certainly when you move out of Europe and look into other countries. So I think we will keep on seeing the same trends. What we don't know today is what payment methods will be the most popular in 5 years' time. Because I think technology is evolving. I think blockchain technology and what will come from it is fascinating. So I think the most important thing is to stay innovative, and whatever roadmap you have for development, leave some for what's still unknown. And the ability and desire to adopt new payment methods, new partners to work with, etc.
I think it's a very interesting point that you make there, is that, you know, we're all trying to get a more and more simplistic way of working, but actually fundamentally underneath everything, it's a very complex situation as it is. I'm not going to talk about, you know, central bank digital currencies or anything like that, but we did a podcast recently on that, and we had a panel of experts from across the world, and we suddenly realized actually that there's even no one central system for that anymore. So that's actually not going to fix very much anyway. It might make things a little bit easier, but, you know, it's not going to become one harmonious, smooth system to transfer, you know, a digital currency from one place to another. You know, so it's not going to be achieved just with payments. It's not going to be achieved just with that. I think there's a lot of other things coming into play there.
Yeah, I sat on a panel to discuss this specific subject last week, and I think in the end, even when you look into cryptocurrencies and how they're being used now by consumers or not by consumers, by investors, at one point there will be a need or a way to turn them into a day-to-day currency. So you have the stable coins, you know, we're still not there with regards to consumer adoption. Is regulations around it the way forward? Are we going to see one country stepping up and saying, okay, we're going to take a leap of faith here, create something that people would actually want to use because they'll trust that it's real, they'll trust its value, etc. It's probably something of that nature will happen sometime soon, but it's down to consumers and how they want to behave as well.
Yeah, as I say, a whole nother conversation about that, I would say. But maybe, Jacqueline, just coming to you about the future. I was kind of thinking about whether to ask you a question of, you know, what would partnerships mean into 2022? But I guess they're going to kind of be the same, because a partnership, as you've eloquently said on numerous occasions before, is all about trust, transparency and that sort of stuff. Have you got any sort of thoughts on, will it just be a lot more of the same or much more personalized, much more tailored?
Oh, good question. That's putting me on the spot here in front of my boss. But I think that there's definitely one element that remains, and that is that we actually work with people. Inevitably, there's going to be more and more players. The competition is going to get tougher, but not only for us, even for partners. Like I said, we also are careful with whom we choose. So I think that I don't foresee that there's going to be that much change. I do think that in order to be successful in your partnerships, because of increased competition, we are going to be measured constantly. Do we live up to our promises and things like that? So I think that at the end of the day, it's going to be business as usual, just with more players and making it a little bit tougher for us, probably.
I think that's possibly the best way you could have answered that question. But that's just my opinion. I just wanted to say thank you so much for spending the time with me today. It's been a thoroughly interesting conversation. Very much enjoyed it. Thank you very much for joining me.
Thank you.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Thank you for listening to the FinTech Times podcast. We hope you enjoyed the discussion as much as we did. Don't forget to check us out at thefintechtimes.com and subscribe to our monthly publication to keep up to date with all the latest FinTech news.